live them in our lives. Amen. Would you like to sit down? Who is the Son of Man? Sorry, I've got a frog. 25 years ago, for our silver wedding, Jeff and I went to Paris to see the sights. By the way, I was a coward. I will never go up the top of the Eiffel Tower. But I was wanting to see the Mona Lisa at the Louvre. Can I say I have never been so disappointed in all my life? I'm sure I'm joined by many others. But one thing I'm pretty certain is that anyone who wants to and sees and meets with Jesus are never going to be disappointed. We would like to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. These are the words of these two Greeks who approached Philip and Andrew. I think it's worth pointing out when this event takes place in John's Gospel, because we've sort of jumped over a week. Because this comes just after Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. It's all at the time of the start of the Passover week, which, of course, we will start to celebrate next week. But it's right that this passage is put in today before we start on the Passion Gospel proper, if you like. So if you remember on that day, it's a crowded Jerusalem, and the crowd got involved, didn't they? In a sense that Jesus decided to come into Jerusalem on his donkey, or a donkey. And there must have been people, not just from Jerusalem and the area, but possibly lots of religious and social groups that were around at the time would have been present. So I think it's safe to presume, it's just possible, that these two Greek gentlemen may even have been part of the crowd that was lining the streets as Jesus entered. And in which case, unless they were short like Zacchaeus, remember the little man, and didn't get a good view, surely they would already have seen him. But they want more. They want an audience. They want to meet with and speak with Jesus. To be in that crowd in the first place, perhaps they'd already heard about his reputation, his healings. They might have heard about some of his discourses with the Pharisees. Maybe they'd heard about the raising of Lazarus. Or maybe just on seeing him passing, they are intrigued. But whatever it is, they now want to know and see more for themselves. We have a phrase, don't we? Seeing is believing. That request, I think, should take us to the heart of where we should be, especially each Sunday as we worship. We should want to see Jesus. If we go back to the very start of Jesus' ministry, when two of John's disciples are introduced to Jesus, Jesus asked them what they were looking for. And they then inquired where he was staying. And Jesus' response was, come. Come and see. It's an invitation that Jesus offered to them then and to us now. As for the Greeks, well, perhaps unlike the Pharisees that were around and some of the others in the crowd, I doubt they wanted to argue with him or try to catch him out. They seemed to genuinely want to see Jesus as he truly was. Of course, there's a catch in all of this, isn't there? Because we're never told he saw them. We don't know if that request was honoured, because he doesn't say it was in our scripture. Can I just say, though, that if Jesus is the real person I think he was, we're told he never turns us away. But perhaps it wasn't a meeting that would be recorded in John's Gospel. What seems to happen is that their desire to see him was for Jesus himself a sign, a signal that his public ministry on earth was finished. Maybe he's having his thoughts confirmed, yes, it's coming, it's drawing to a close. And that all he'd done he'd done all that a life in human form, if you like, could do. And now it says quite clearly, his hour has come. So it goes into a long monologue about wheat and seeds and death and life. And he presents his parable about how a grain of wheat must be willing to die and be buried in order to produce, bring forth, if you like, not just new plants, but in the parable, to empower followers more and more who will willingly give up their lives in service to God and to spread God's messages of love and justice amongst all people. It was, as we know, a sign about what was to happen to him, death and resurrection. Jesus is declaring that only if he is lifted up will he draw all people to himself. In other words, if the Greeks want to see him, want to benefit fully from what he's been sent to the world to do, he needs to now carry on and complete the work his Father has given him to do. Then they, and everyone else who might want to see him, wouldn't just see him, they would come to him. Many people look upon Jesus from afar. Coming to see is very different. When we plant seeds in the ground, I don't know about you, but often I'll never see them again. Although, to be fair, usually maybe even not 3 days, but maybe 3 years later, they find a way of growing. And when they don't appear immediately, it seems a bit like a tragedy. But they do appear, usually, sometime. Just last week, we've seen that the young saplings which have come from the seeds of the sycamore tree, wasn't it, that was felled illegally up on Hadrian's Wall. Yes, it's a tragedy that one tree was killed, but it seems that it will be turning into a triumph when more and more trees actually begin to grow and survive. In Jesus' case, this is the triumph of God's self-giving love, the love that looks death in the face and defeats it. If we really want to see Jesus and get to know him, we've got to be planted in the same way, allowing the dead wood of our lives to die so that we can fully understand and get to know Jesus for ourselves. Jesus doesn't just want to see us to see him. He wants to see something in us which confirms our willingness to identify with him. Like seeds, there has to be a willingness to die to self so that we too can bear fruit. This is all part of God's big, big plan, which is why I chose the Jeremiah reading this morning that Tony read. It's about a new covenant that God would be making. As with previous covenants with Noah and with Moses, it would come out of God's initiative, not ours. And the relationship it would establish, of course, would be summed up in the words, I will be their God, and they will be my people. And it came about and would come about when God offers his gifts of grace, a full forgiveness of the past sins, through the offering of Christ himself upon the cross. Saying, we wish to see Jesus, opens our eyes to the world around us. It prompts us to ask us hard questions, to pay attention to the ways Jesus may be revealed, even in unexpected places in our lives. And at this time in Lent, saying we wish to see Jesus is a forward reminder that when we get to Palm Sunday next week, not to jump to Easter Day, but to travel the road of Holy Week. to witness Jesus' anger in the temple as he overturned the money tables, his frustration with organized religion, to see him washing the dirty feet of his disciples, to see how he deals with those who would betray him. During that week, we see Jesus at prayer, struggling, yet still willing to obey his Father's will. And we see him feeling the weight of the cross. And yet, even at the point of death, showing his compassion for a man dying beside him, compassion for his mother, and forgiving all those who had wronged him. Remember the words, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." Like the Greeks who came to that entry of Jesus and the Passover festival at the Passover festival and urgently asked to see him, we come to this building each week, or regularly, and we celebrate our fellowship together with each other and with God. I hope that we all come seeking an audience with Jesus in this place. And I hope you don't feel that you're standing or sitting alone as you worship, that there is a sense that Jesus is here. And of course, everywhere we go, and in whoever we meet, we can potentially see Jesus in them too. The familiar faces we're surrounded by, we see one another. In those perhaps we meet at the shop, perhaps ride on the bus with, pass by in the street, as well as those who sit around our kitchen table. Those of us who've been doing the course in Motions of Jesus, I don't know how far the other group have got, but our group this last week was looking at his compassion. And in it, there's an image of a homeless person, I didn't read it today, who's lying. It's a statue that's been reproduced in various places from Canada. And it's a homeless person covered up with a blanket, lying on a bench. But when you look carefully, out of under the blanket, the feet have nails through them. It's a powerful image of where to find Jesus. Yet ultimately, if we wish to see Jesus, there is one place to look: the cross. The life-giving cross on which hung the Saviour of the world. In a few moments now, Carol knows about this. We're going to ask Carol soon to sing for us. It's that wonderful hymn, "Open Our Eyes, Lord, and Want to See Jesus." You can stay silent. Carol will sing. But I'm going to put some images, Jeff, hopefully up on the screen. And I hope as that you look upon them, you'll come to see even more of Jesus, perhaps than you know already. That he'll speak to you in some way. And you will be able to express silently your love to him. Thanks be to God.